And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket.
Dave, we didn't have a chance to talk about this last week, but I know that you've been following the case of Tina Peters, the Oklahoma secretary, county clerk, I guess, or Colorado county clerk, right, who gave the software for the voting machines to, I think, Mike Lindell, right? The MyPillows guy.
MyPillows guy, yeah.
Yeah. And she got arrested. And she got charged with lots of things. And she went to trial. And she got convicted. And the time came for sentencing. And she said to the judge she'd do it all again. Because she knows that what she did was right. And she knows that the judge thinks that what she did was right. And the judge looked at her and said, no, I don't think that. And he gave her 9 years in the penitentiary.
Yeah. It was even worse than that. I mean, you can see both her statement and his statement when he sentenced her on YouTube. I mean, she was totally unrepentant and continued her flights of fantasy. And the judge, you know, really gave an incredible statement in charging her, or in sentencing her. He gave her, I think there were 8 or 9 counts, and he gave her consecutive sentences on a number of them rather than a concurrent sentence, which is often the case. The only mitigating factors she had were that she was she had no previous record, and these were non-violent crimes, so to speak, although they were violent against the Constitution. But they were non-violent crimes. But he, you know, he told her in no certain terms, what you're believing and what you're trying to peddle here is nonsense.
He called it snake oil. In fact, he said poisonous snake oil.
Snake oil. And he rejected everything she said. And it was really interesting. At the end, the judge had given these sentences out, and he said, is there anything else? And the prosecutor stood up and says, well, I don't believe you've sentenced her on count number 6. And he said, oh, yeah, that's a year and a half, and that'll be consecutive with the 6 months on the misdemeanor. You know, so right. Total of nine years.
And he gave her credit for 2 days served, right?
2 days.
Yeah.
But the lesson here is that there are still an innumerable amount of people who are willing to sacrifice themselves for Donald Trump. He never gets anything, or he hasn't yet, but he's going to get sentenced on the New York cases.
Maybe.
In November.
Maybe.
Yeah, but all these people have lost all these different things. She's lost nine years.
Right.
Hundreds of people that listened to him and charged the Capitol are in jail or have been in jail. Some of them got, 20 years or 18 years?
18 years, yeah.
We had Michael Cohen went to jail for him.
Giuliani lost everything.
Giuliani, Weisselberg, Sidney Powell. A lot of these people lost a lot, and they're still losing a lot. Mike Lindell may have bankrupted himself chasing down these fantasies of that the computers were switched and this or that, and there was programming. It's wild. And they continue to do this, and they just don't seem to pick up on the fact that this is nonsense.
What do you think about a guy like John Eastman, who is a guy who thought up a lot of this stuff, knowing that it was wrong, telling people this is probably not going to work, this is definitely not legal, and yet promotes it? What do you think about a guy like that?
Well, he's going to be he's one of those in trouble as well. Where is it? In Arizona or Michigan?
Where he's been indicted?
Yeah.
Is it Arizona? Well, he's indicted in Georgia.
Georgia. I know. Yeah, that case I think keeps falling apart. Because the system down there and the DA really hasn't been that great in handling it, but you got all these people. One guy who really may be losing his seat is Scott Perry.
Our Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, Scott Perry, the former chairman of the Freedom Caucus.
Yeah, that's right. And remember what he did is he asked for a pardon from Trump and didn't get it.
He didn't get it, but he also recommended, isn't he the guy that came up with Jeffrey Clark?
Yes, he is.
Yep.
So he's knee-deep in this stuff.
Right. So he's running for re-election, and?
Yep, and he's running against a former TV personality, a woman, and the polling seems to indicate that he's in pretty serious trouble.
The polling indicates he's behind.
Yes.
Yes. Wow.
And that would be big because that's another Pennsylvania seat.
Yeah. That's another Pennsylvania seat. And it certainly gives the Democrats a little bit of an edge on holding the House or getting the House.
Yes. And the other thing is, if this election is ever thrown into the House, each state gets one vote.
Right.
And that we could wind up with a 9-8 Pennsylvania delegation, and that would be
19 votes.
That would be it. So we have to see. But we have a lot of these folks that are in trouble because they've stuck with Trump. There's an interesting race out there in Nebraska. We were all kind of watching that one district or the one electoral vote around Omaha that the Republicans tried to change to make the state an entirely winner-take-all thing, and they failed because the guy who's leaving, the one state senator, wouldn't change his vote. And now it turns out that Deb Fischer, the senator, is running against an independent. And the independent is ahead of her in the polls, or close.
Now, no, I think he's actually ahead.
Yeah, and he says that he is not going to caucus with either party, which is going to be interesting because if there's a 50-49 split or 49-49, split. Mm-hmm. And who's he going to vote for the majority leader?
Maybe nobody.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's an interesting thing.
So let me ask you this. This is an interesting non-political structural question. Who, if it's a tie, who's the majority? Who organizes the Senate?
That's a good question.
Good enough. All right.
I think it's going to wind up with the party who has the presidency because the vice president breaks
the
tie.
Breaks the tie, exactly.
But the whole Senate could be locked up.
Yeah.
The whole Senate could be locked up. By the way, there's a couple of things that are in a couple of states. Georgia, for instance, has the Supreme Court there reinstated the 6-month ban on abortions, which will probably help the Democrats there. The issue's back on the table.
6-week ban.
6-week. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. 6-week ban on that. And in Texas, the Texas Supreme Court, or the U.S. Supreme Court, stated that the federal rule about having to provide emergency medical care would not trump, let's say, the state ban on abortion after that limited amount of time. So
by what convoluted reasoning did the federal law suddenly become inferior to the state law?
Well, that's a good question. The other thing is why they wouldn't stay the state law while they made their decision, which indicates that they're not going to, that they're going to find some reason to invalidate the federal law. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. But the abortion issue has really continued to come more to the fore.
It's roared back as far as I can see.
Yeah. But, you know, there was an issue as to whether or not it would had played its way out. Remember in 2020 and 2022, it was a very big issue, particularly in 2022. And they were thinking that it lost its luster for a while, but it may not have. And I'm seeing ads in Pennsylvania, for instance, for the state legislative race, Eddie Pashinsky's race, which raises the abortion issue. In Pennsylvania, the Matt Cartwright congressional race, there are ads, not by the candidate himself, but by the DCCC and outside groups raising the abortion issue and using it against Bresnahan. And he doesn't seem to have an answer for that.
Well, but they don't have an answer for that. They support these restrictions. There's right. No way to answer that except to say, I'm doing the right thing, and I'm going to do more of it.
Yeah, and it's also reared its head in the state race for attorney general with the Dave Sunday and Gene DePasquale, where they're playing a statement that Dave Sunday says, I will enforce whatever law Pennsylvania legislature passes. So they're saying if they pass a restrictive abortion law, he's going to defend it. So that there, it's showing up again because DePasquale doesn't have a lot of issues. He's never been a prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. And that, of course, that's another Jeffrey Yaz position.
Meanwhile, have you thought about whether the hurricanes are going to play a role in the election?
I think they have to.
They wiped out a whole bunch of Republican counties in North Carolina.
Yeah. The funny thing is that they wanted to pass the Democrats wanted to bring up a rule that said that we extend the amount of time for absentee ballots and, registration and all this. And the Republicans in the legislature wouldn't let it happen. And this is the equivalent of, the center of Pennsylvania having some mass disaster.
Yeah.
And the Republicans, which is a heavily Republican area, that western part of North Carolina is the Republican part.
Right.
So they're not helping themselves. Now, Trump is trying to make an issue of the federal response. And my guru, that Ruth Ben-Ghiat that I always refer to, did an analysis of this, and she said, this is by design. This is part of this long-term trend to break down government and say government doesn't work and that you need a strong man to run things, not government agencies.
That's what motivates the Republicans not voting sufficient funds for FEMA.
Right.
But that doesn't explain Trump saying that the government isn't doing its job.
Well, it does, because Trump says only I can fix it.
But he can fix it as the leader of the government.
But they're consolidating all the power in him, not in the government. We're not going to have these administrative agencies. He's just going to do this.
I
know it makes no sense, but he said so many.
So is he going to go out there and throw paper towels to the people in North Carolina, like he did in Puerto Rico?
I guess so.
That takes a lot of paper towels.
I hope he has some toilet paper as well.
Yeah.
On that. Well, he does some inexplicable things. He went to Detroit this week and talked to an economic council there And in the middle of the speech, he went up and said, you know, if Kamala Harris is elected, she's going to do for all the cities in America what happened to Detroit.
These are the people who run Detroit.
Yeah, these are the people who run Detroit. And, of course, he's implying that the old Detroit, where, you know, the inner city with a lot of crime and was bankrupt, in essence, and had black leadership and all this stuff. But what's happened is Detroit has had a revival in the last several years. It's coming back. They've had some very good leadership and corporate leadership, and they've been able to bring crime down. You know, they've lost a tremendous part of their population, hundreds of thousands of people over the last couple decades, and now it's starting to come back. Housing is cheap and affordable there now, and what have you. So, but that doesn't seem to matter to him. You know, he came to Scranton, and he had all of these people sitting behind him, saying firefighters for Trump, and they're wearing, a couple of them were wearing the firefighters' dress uniforms, and the firefighter union came out and said, those aren't firefighters from Scranton. None of them work here. And we don't, and we have an endorsement. But, you know, it's the showmanship. It's the look. Yeah. It's not the it's the perception, not the reality. And that's been Donald Trump's whole campaign now for the last 8 years.
Also, in Scranton, I heard the audience was about 1,000. He claimed 4,000.
Yeah.
The hall, does the hall hold 4,000? I think the hall only held 2,000.
Well, the hall was cut in half, from what I understand.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard of one journalist who said there was really only 2,000 there, but nowhere near the 4,000. And don't forget, with Trump, you get, you know, as I said, you get the perception of things, and you'll never know what the reality is on this. You know, when he came, he didn't make any friends when he came to Scranton. The city was all really tied down. And one of the reasons was he came down, didn't come from the airport the normal way. He went up to Dunmore. They had to release school early in Dunmore. And the reason that happened is he refused to drive down the President Biden Expressway, which was renamed in the last couple of years.
That's not petty, right?
No, it's not petty. It's good advance work that they even knew about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this kind of thing is, you can't make that up. Of course, maybe he was too busy, you know, sending COVID tests to Vladimir Putin.
Well, let me ask you about Bob Newhart's, Woodward's book.
Bob Woodward's.
Yeah. He says Trump made at least 7 phone calls to Putin. Since he left office. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure that they talked about world events. I'm confident they didn't talk about basketball. They didn't talk about ephemera of any sort. They talked about world events. Isn't there a law that forbids private individual American citizens from carrying on their own personal foreign policy?
Yeah, it's called the Logan Act, and he once accused John Kerry of doing that and threatened to have him arrested. He threatened to have CBS lose its license.
Lovely. And why aren't the Democrats asking for the Logan Act to be applied to him?
Well, you remember, it's two sets of rules. For the rest of us.
Well, and along the same lines, down in Florida, there's a proposal on the ballot to enshrine abortion rights in the Florida Constitution.
Right.
The organization that's sponsoring that initiative got ads on the television to support the initiative.
Mm-hmm. I know where you're going.
The Florida Department of Health sent letters to the television studios companies saying that if they continued to broadcast those ads, they would be prosecuted.
Yeah.
Is that the form of the First Amendment that Justice Alito is for?
We may have to find out.
Isn't that, have you ever heard of such a thing?
Well, yeah. I mean,
In America. I'm not talking about, you know, in Egypt. I'm talking about in America.
Right.
I mean, I've heard of plenty of times when public, when newspapers wouldn't take ads from left-wing groups or television wouldn't take ads from left-wing groups. I never heard of the government ordering the radio or the television that they not to run an ad or they'd be prosecuted.
Wasn't that what they're accusing the Biden administration of doing when they went to all of these social media places and saying, be careful that it's Russian propaganda with the Hunter Biden stuff or the COVID stuff? It was the COVID stuff.
Well,
but that was a, that
but,
was, that
but
was,
they didn't say that they would
prosecute
them.
Right, they did. But this is the authoritarian.
Well, that's very important to point this out because this is no longer theoretical. This is not they could do this or the logic of what they're saying is they'll do. They're doing it.
Well, I mean, but they've been threatening to prosecute all of their political enemies.
Yeah,
you know, the press is the enemy of the state.
Right, but Trump, when he says it wasn't in power, but now this guy, DeSantis, he is in power, and he's doing it.
Well, look at what the things he's done there in Florida with banning books,
right,
and taking over that new school down there,
right, the new university, right, exactly,
right. You know, all of this stuff, all the authoritarian things. But meanwhile, I mean, he's got his hands full with the. Two hurricanes on that.
And I see that the Republican congressmen down there who have all voted against the funding for FEMA, all want the money from FEMA.
Oh, yeah. And they've been, there's a couple of things about that. Number one, Mike Johnson, Biden wants him to call the House back in order to pass a bill to appropriate money, and he's refusing to do that.
On what basis?
Who knows with Mike Johnson?
Exactly.
Trump told him.
God must have told him. Maybe God told him.
Yeah. They continue with the lies, saying that the FEMA money is being spent on Haitian immigrants and things like that, when it isn't. Because the monies are allocated separately and they're siloed. So there's no money being taken away from FEMA in order to pay for it.
You're the kind of guy that thinks that just because something can't be done and isn't done, that therefore people should think it isn't done. You probably don't think that people eat their neighbor's pets. I believe you believe that.
Well, maybe the goldfish.
The goldfish?
You know, koi or something like that. Who knows? Right. Who knows?
There is, but these guys are shameless. They're shameless.
There is no bottom.
There's no bottom.
But this is part of, you know, this push, the authoritarian push, in order to denigrate government and to destroy government. In any way that they can.
But not the government parts that benefit them.
No.
Not those parts. I mean, they still want the billions, literally billions, in subsidies to take away the risk from developing new product. Right?
Yeah. I mean, they want all of those benefits.
Although I see that Vance attacked Biden and Kamala Harris because the $500 million that they gave to a plant in Michigan to get started, he said that was just peanuts. That's scraps from the table. Those are the kind of scraps Northeast Pennsylvania could use.
We sure could.
Yeah.
You know, I was at an event with people. The Democrats, and Matt Cartwright spoke, and he's talking about bringing money into Northeastern Pennsylvania. He's brought in about $83 million, and he's part of the Appropriations Committee. And if the Democrats take over, he's going to be one of the more powerful members of the committee. He's the head of what they call the 12 Cardinals. He's the head of the Committee on Commerce and Justice and Science.
Well, that's very critical for our area. I mean, Scranton has been kind of rebranding itself with medical schools.
Yeah, we do. And medical research.
Yeah.
And things like that with the university.
Yeah.
And getting things. So, but we do need money.
Yeah.
And
but I mean, and in what world is $500 million table scraps?
Well, remember Everett Dirksen? What his famous line is?
Yeah.
A billion here and a billion there, and pretty soon you're talking about real money.
Yeah, exactly.
$500 million is only a half a billion, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, there's no sense getting
but they
up
did,
in arms
you know,
about
they
it.
Did some estimates that they say, you know, the debt is, or the debt, yeah, the debt is increasing, but the estimates are that Trump would more than double the increase in the debt that Harris would based on their proposals.
Trump made a speech, this is a standard part of his speech, talking about how the rate of inflation is growing and growing and growing and is killing everybody. And it turns out it's true. Inflation continues to go up, but by declining amounts. The amount that it went up in the last year was the lowest amount that it went up by in many, many, many years.
Right.
But that doesn't seem to matter either. Nothing matters. Nothing matters. There's no reason why facts should get in the way of a good argument.
Again, it's perception, not reality.
Yeah, exactly.
And that kind of thing just goes on and on and on.
Well, everybody says Pennsylvania is a key to the election.
Yeah.
The key
and
to the election.
By the way, we're seeing a lot of, an enormous amount of money has been put in Pennsylvania, more than any other state. We're seeing billboards, both sides. Are putting up billboards. There's like three or four billboards on the North Scranton Expressway by different groups. One is Politics with Champagne or something like that. One is Billboards 97. They're Trump, pro-Trump billboards. Now that Harris has billboards up telling what she did.
Never mind billboards. How's the canvassing coming? In your area, is canvassing going on?
I've heard they've been out every week and every weekend. A lot of canvassing going on with the Democrats.
But, I think that's the key. I think that's the key.
Yeah. Well, that and whatever. Did we discuss Bibles?
No. And we have no time to do it now.
We have no time. But just remember that you can get one of the Trump Bibles that's made in China.
They're printed in China.
In China.
They cost $3 to make, and you can get it for $60.
You can get it for $60.
What
and,
a bargain.
And then, of course, they're not autographed, but Trump did go to a Jewish function with the Lubavitchers this week, and they handed him a prayer book, and he asked them if they wanted him to sign it. I'm sure if they said yes, which I know they wouldn't do, but if they, you know, like he was the author, right?
Right.
But,
right.
But he probably would have signed it back, you know,
of course.
Backwards.
Well, he wouldn't have known which was which.
He didn't know which was which when he held the one Bible up.
That's true. That's right.
Outside the White House that time. So, yeah. Anyway.
He's a disgrace. He's a disgrace to the Republicans.
He's a disgrace to the Republic.
Yep. Yep.
So, another week.
Another week. We'll see what happens this coming week, and we'll talk about it next week.
All right. Have a
good
week.
You too.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.